And today we have got a perfect example. After photos appeared on Facebook showing suggestive dirty dancing at a high school's recent homecoming dance in Ohio, well, the school district, apparently shocked by what they saw, decided to just cancel all the dances. Yep, they didn't want to talk to the students, teach them about what is supposedly inappropriate and what isn't. They just straight up said, no further dances will be held. Clearly, they are so baffled and so overwhelmed by progress that they just don't know how to react to it. But the biggest question is, of course, why these people have so much power? Why this moral minority is allowed to hold a tyrannous reign over the lives of Americans? Well, joining me to discuss it is Nick Gillespie, editor-in-chief of Reason TV. Nick, thanks so much for coming back on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
I mean, dirty dancing, really? Do these people live on another planet? Have you seen the music videos that are out there? Do they not listen to the lyrics and the songs that they play at school dances? Yeah. This is, if you have a bunch of horny teenagers in a room with music, they're gonna dirty dance. Just get over it.
I don't even think they have to be horny. But, you know,
I think that's just like comes with being a teenager.
I was gonna say the other thing is, you know, what comes with being a teenager in America is going to high school. And it's almost as if the, you know, the principals and the teachers and the guidance counselors and the psychiatric counselors are playing out a role that, you know, high school has to be miserable. And they're just being ridiculous about this. So it's unfortunately the urge specifically to stamp out dancing is as old as America is. In the colonies, there were various attempts to keep people from dancing. In the Massachusetts Bay Colony, people were put to death for dancing around a maypole, and this is kind of its latest iteration. The two things that are interesting about it to me are, one, that the ferocity of the attempts to suppress dancing and their utter failure to stamp out dancing as well as fun in general.
You can't get rid of dancing, but apparently a gyration is a sin or something. But, you know, we can joke about this all we want, but in effect, I mean, this has serious side effects. Here, it's okay. These, you know, these kids aren't going to get to have a school dance, and that's sad. But then we have the story of the girl who wanted to bring her girlfriend to the school dance. They told her she couldn't go to her own prom. They created a fake prom. They completely, you know, duped her. I mean, that's just, that's cruel. And on what planet is that okay to do to teenagers, to children?
Yeah, I think that, you know, those are, they're related stories. And one of the things about, you know, kind of bringing same-sex couples at schools and whatnot, I think they're, in a certain way, that's a story of progress in the sense that, you know, 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago or 20 years ago, that wasn't even on the, you know, it wasn't even a possibility. It wasn't even imagined, much less a possibility. And now you're starting to see more and more acceptance of that. So I think on a, you know, in certain ways, schools are coming around to new realities, to accepting new realities such as kind of openly, you know, openly gay couples or interracial couples 30 years ago, 40 years ago. That would have been something that raised eyebrows. What's odd is that they can't get over the old problems, things like dancing, you know, which is always, I mean, you know, going back to the 1950s, people flipped out about rock music because of the dancing it inspired. That earlier than that, I mean, at the turn of the century, the waltz was considered a sexual dance because the partners touched each other, even though they had like clear daylight between them. So it's kind of a recurring attempt to hold back the wave of kind of adolescent hormones.
I think dancing is what brings us all together. But you know, the thing is, it's not just about adolescents, right? Because now we have grown adults. We have people that are running for office in this country that are could be making our laws. We have people like Christine O'Donnell, who, you know, is on air or back in the day in her MTV days saying that she thinks masturbation also is a form of lust and therefore you can't do it. We have people like Carl Paladino in New York who's saying that homosexuality is, kids are being brainwashed by it. I mean, these people might be politicians. Yeah. Does that not freak you out a little bit?
I think, you know, if there's something harder to stop than dancing, it's going to be masturbation. So I don't actually worry about the efficacy of that ban, but the mentality behind it is totally disturbing. And then in you know, kind of more acceptable terms, there are things like trying to ban violent video games or sexual video games or, you know, the sexting, as you were talking about, or, you know, all types of communication. And some of those are considered acceptable. I mean, people like Barack Obama is in favor of, you know, putting limits on video games and things like that. California, there's a Supreme Court case coming up about whether or not minors, people under the age of 17, can purchase violent or sexually charged video games. It's very strange. And again, one of the things that is interesting about this is that impulse is always there. And then I have a lot of faith in technology and the wisdom of people to route around that sort of censorship. But they shouldn't have to.
And, well, technology is almost, you know, bringing it to the forefront now, too, because now that we have Facebook, well, you know, the more people are going to put pictures of themselves getting drunk and dirty dancing and whatnot.
Yeah, the latest story of that is a Virginia congressional candidate, Crystal Ball. Yeah, of
best
all
name
things,
ever.
Yeah, has a bunch of ridiculous photos of herself, which are quite funny. And this brings us to another point, which is that I think people will have to get over this because all of us, I mean, youth is a time to have indiscretions. That's, you know, youthful indiscretions, and they linger longer in the ether because
they're
out.
But what
if
you don't get over it? I mean, for example, you know, I hear that you Reason folks have really wild parties. I mean, how do you godless heathens still live with yourselves? You guys are adults. You're professionals.
I think that's what memory loss is for. And, you know, if there's one thing, you can't stop masturbation, you can't stop dancing, and you can't stop people from blocking out. You know, repression at the political level is a bad thing. On the personal psychological level, repressing memories is probably a good thing, and we've all done that, and we'll do it again.
Okay, finally, last question is, why do these people have so much power? I do not believe that these moral crusaders are the majority of Americans, and yet they try to control everything we do. They're obsessed with controlling sex, what's in your bedroom, and somehow they're successful. Why?
Again, here's, I'll offer up a happy alternative, which is that they have much less power than they used to. 50 years ago, 100 years ago, I mean, they controlled when you could shop, what you could buy, et cetera. The real story is that we have more control, individuals have more control over how to live their lives, what pleasures to take in. California, for instance, is voting to, on a ballot initiative to legalize marijuana. You know, that's progress of a sort. And I think what you will see as people have, as politicians have less that they can control in people's private lives, they will fight more and more for that last inch of territory they think they actually can control.
Yeah, that does make sense. But okay, I'll take it from you as an older guest telling your younger interviewer that I should be feeling lucky
these days
that we are moving forward.
Believe me, it's better now than it was, and hopefully not as good as it will be.
Thank you so much, Nick, for being here. All right, still to come on tonight's show, we're going to look into the case of Alirio Antonio Ureña, a former Colombian Army officer who's just been sentenced to 44 years in prison for a massacre of more than 245 civilians.